Blog Talk Radio.
Hey, yo, El, what time is it?
It's 7 o'clock. Why? What's up?
Hindsight time, that's what's up. Hindsight time. You already know.
Don't leave me. I'm trying to get my knowledge on, too.
That good old knowledge without a college, bro.
Don't be stingy with the knowledge.
You walking on slow, let's get the hot stepping.
You know what time it is. Those who don't listen, special.
Real special, real special. You know, I ain't old as I look, but I'm never too old to get that knowledge.
You are now listening to Hindsight Radio.
When we wake up, then I have her sang just like Celine Dion. Catch me if you can, but you'll never catch me, damn. Whole lot of yes, I am. All the way in with no exit plan. Already left and the jet don't land. Yeah, the time is ticking, come take a ride. Get inside, this is highly different. I'm talking fly, got a pilot with a book. Can I mind my business? Why you tripping? Give me something that your eyes can witness. Ooh, you're too close. I don't understand why you're doing the most.
How far we came, still they throwing dirt on my name, but it never worried my brain. Head's turning like a hurricane, swerving till the sun get up out of my shade. They don't get the picture, cut them out of that frame. Shit, I'm up 30,000 miles plus change. Been a while, but I'm down till I'm out, and it is what it is till it ain't.
something you never seen. Yeah.
My nigga,
I don't fit right anomalies, and I don't accept how you lying to me. See yourself fall in my dreams, show you something you never seen. I don't seem to understand these things. I be rolling out of bounds, I keep a bang, steady gone on lane. Love over passion, tell me what it means. Live like a gangsta, I don't fit right with them things. Money talking like a preacher, blew that strap in the bottom. He tried running, knew they was coming, bound in hunters, then caught him. Toss all your feelings in the leg once they locked in the bottom. I'm too aggressive, please excuse me. You know how I'm rocking, I'm thugging. I don't fit right anomalies, and I don't accept how you lying to me. See yourself fall in my dreams, show you something you never seen. I don't fit right anomalies, and I don't accept how you lying to me. See yourself fall in my dreams, show you something you never seen.
You making fun of all the stuff.
Well, bitches say you don't love me. Infiltrating, going on occasions like you trying to hide something. I never lie, always admit, cause I be feeling like fuck.
I wouldn't want you to lie to me. You happy when you leave?
I've been done dirty and I'm scarred, so I don't fuck with no bitch. You probably fucking, but I still won't let a hoe suck my dick. You got me fucking up my song, cause I'm so mad about the shit. I just got spirits in my phone, it ain't no human, you bitch. I don't fit right anomalies, and I don't accept how you lying to me. See yourself fall in my dreams, show you something you never seen. I don't fit right anomalies, and I don't accept how you lying to me. See yourself fall in my dreams, show you something you never seen.
I wish I had a modicum of athletic ability. I would have been an All-American fucking Olympian. Oh, fuck. Because nobody could would work harder at it. They used to say, now just imagine you're growing up, and I reminded my two buddies of this, they had forgotten. Coach Roy J, the football coach at high school, said, you're so fucking slow, Pina, you should wear the other team's jersey. Now just think that through. You're so fucking inept, you should be wearing their jersey and playing for them. I just come back and hit that fucking line again. I didn't care. They used to stand me in the corner with a dunce cap. They said I was retarded. And if I looked around too many times, then they put me in the fucking closet. They had to take the dunce cap off because the dunce cap was too high to get me in the closet. And I would be in there 4, 5, 6 hours till school was over. Piss my pants, shit my pants, because they wouldn't let me out. Just imagine today. I had to school the L.A. school district when I was in the Army. Pina, you're the sorriest excuse of wet back Mexican guy. Then when I became an officer, you're the sorriest excuse wet back officer. All my life, but I've never thought of it as being brutalized. I never thought of it that way.
And you're glad that happened.
Fucking right I am. Otherwise, I'd be like these snowflake cunts. I can eat the heads off of 10 at a time. Literally. When that kid in Toronto says, what do you do with a cricket bat? I go, motherfucker, come here, you little. And you know who invited me to University of Toronto? Black Tie. The black and women groups invite me. Those are who invite me.
Why?
Black ties. Do I look black?
Aren't you 8% black?
Yeah, 6.6% black with my brothers, you know. Yeah.
So why do they invite you?
Because they think, they know that because I was a minority. I am a minority. Just I wasn't raised in a minority, and I wouldn't allow myself to be go through the same deprivation as other minorities. And maybe I was fighting back against that. I don't know. But surely I fought back.
So you admit some of the product of you is from fighting back against that.
Yeah, yeah. But when they called me a retard and I was this and I was that, even when I became an officer and a gentleman, United States Congress, and going through the training process, they didn't treat you so well. Then once I became an officer and I'm at the officers club of generals, and of course that's when I found out $1 million was. Thank God for that guy and inheriting that money.
But you understand why it offends people so much.
Oh, yeah, sure I do.
And why does it offend
no,
us so
but,
much?
No, but what I tell my kids, although I don't, to the rest of my knowledge, our three children haven't been discriminated against, I don't believe, other than being rich, which they do discriminate kids against you. My kids were embarrassed to come to school in a limo. The The limo had to park 6-8 blocks away. And then I asked the driver, Jimmy, what? Oh, the children wouldn't let me take them to school. We dropped them off. Well, how do you know they got to school, Jimmy? I watched them, boss. I watched them because I know you'd kill me if something happened to them. I watched them, boss. So it's not what happens to us in life. It's how we interpret what happens to us in life. Freud said that, and the guy before Freud, his name escapes me. It's how we're trained emotionally to cope with information that we don't like. And I was always unknowingly trained. You can't hurt, sticks and stones can break your bones, but words can never hurt you. That's what the saying was when I was maybe 1 to 15. And so I just, you know, shine it on. And I said, if you want to make something of it, we'll step out and then we'll see who's right and who's wrong. That's how we used to settle who's right and who's wrong. The guy that's standing over the guy that's on the ground. And a lot of times I got the shit kicked out of me. There's a guy who probably won't watch this, Howard Stein and Walt Wojcik, who were really tough, you know, a lot tougher than I was. And I was bigger than he was, but he was like my baby brother or my big brother, because whenever I get the shit kicked out of me, he'd go looking for him. And he says, what are you, his brother? He says, close enough. He was Jewish, Stein. He's close enough. So now I'm going to give you a beat down for you beating up Dan.
So all this stuff prepared you for who you are.
Correct.
And you think we're missing it in today's culture?
I don't think. I know we're missing it.
And that's what you're teaching these kids.
Correct.
It's not just business.
No.
Okay.
How to stand up like you had a pair.
Which gets us into the snowflake.
Oh.
You hadn't used that word 2 years ago.
No, I didn't.
What's a snowflake?
A snowflake is a kid, a guy or a gal, mostly guys that melt under pressure. As opposed to what they tell me, you know, God, every snowflake is different, Mr. P. You know, there's not one snowflake that's the same as the other. The trillions and trillions and trillions. I said, yes, that's correct. That's correct. And he says, and so we deserve to be here just like, no, that's not correct. In your opinion, snowflakes melt under pressure. I gave you a couple stats at dinner. I'm going to say them again. They're worth repeating. In 1986, the average man's handshake pressure was 118 pounds. 30-year-old man. I forgot to put the age. 118 pounds. 2016, 96 pounds. A woman, 1986, was 105 pounds. Today, 110 pounds. 110 pounds. Testosterone levels in sperm counts tested 50 years ago, and today they're producing 60 to 70% the amount of testosterone levels in sperm counts as they did. We're dying out.
Why? The liberal media.
No, it's not the liberal media. I mean, I think World War II had a lot of positive effects on us. I'm a product of that generation. The greatest generation, they call it.
They came back as tough bastards.
But it's like talking to the Japanese now. They're deathly afraid of everything because of the war, what they did. The Germans, Merkel, God love her, I mean, supporting the EU because of what I call German guilt. Okay? Everybody's scared to fucking death of what might happen, and so they want to come across as your friend. They don't want people to say bad things about you. They don't want to say, because Neville Chamberlain could have stopped Hitler 80 years ago. And so now we're overreacting. So the rubber band has been, you know, is going back too much the other way. And it's just unbelievable. My dad, you know, I'm glad he's not alive to see this, because the more snowflakes we have, the less the possibility of the Earth making it.
Okay, which you want the Earth to make it.
Yeah, I do. It's like my snowflake test. You know, the first question, paraphrasing it, by the way, we have 95.4% of everybody, many thousands and tens of thousands that have taken the test are cunts. And I don't mean cunt, vagina, I mean cowards. First question on the test, paraphrasing it, what would you do if somebody spit in your wife's face? And the answers range from, well, I try to ascertain what kind of day he was having. And if he had a bad day, I try to be understanding. Are you fucking shitting me? I'd be in prison for murder. I would beat the guy to death. Or if I couldn't beat him to death, I'd find somebody in a pipe to beat him to death.
Is that what we need today?
Everybody's... No, no, I'm not saying that's me, though.
Okay.
You, where you come, where I come from, the barrio, you spit in a guy's mother's face, you're a dead fucking man. I mean...
And you'd like to see more of that in the
world? No, right now we're way over at this end.
Okay.
You don't have to come all the way to my end. And the but I mean, that's awful. I mean, and then there's 22, 23 questions. And it's foreign to me that people would answer a question. I would try to ascertain what kind of day he was having. What the fuck does that have to do with spitting in your wife's face or your mother's face?
All right, so you're trying to de-snowflake these men and women. Get them to stand up. Get them to go out face to face.
And they know they're snowflakes, and that's why they come to me, because they think I'm the alpha male dad they never had. They say during private time, I'm a cunt. I don't want to be a cunt. How can I change? My dad was a cunt. I mean, I hear my great-grandfather wasn't. He was an airborne ranger in World War II. I hear, but he was dead already.
No male role model.
When I was growing up, my dad's five or six best buddies were all tough fucking guys. So I didn't see anything different. I didn't see anything different. They were all just, you know. I tell the story. It's not a story. My cousin, God love him, he went to jail for being involved in stabbing a guy 17 times because somebody said, your girlfriend's got a fat ass. Looks like pigs in a gunny sack. He stabbed him 17 fucking times. Only by the grace of God, he couldn't stab it, right? And the guy didn't die.
That's where you come from. Okay. And you're not advocating that.
No,
but you're saying let's go more back to that spectrum.
But I am advocating that the guys act like they had a pair.
You're going to have to ask yourself a couple of questions by the end of the program. Why would our schools leave all of this history out? I mean, this is some of the greatest American story that you've ever heard. Why would they do that? And it's everywhere. You just don't know where to look. If you take a look at the revolutionary paintings of revolutionary times, here it is. This is the Boston Tea Party. Bunch of white guys and these people strangely looking like Indians, and they're not. But that's it. Not a lot of racial diversity. If you watch movies, one a great, great movie. This is John Adams. You watch John Adams and you don't see a lot of racial diversity. I'm currently watching Johnny Tremaine. I love this movie. I remember this growing up. I was watching it with my kids just last night. And I noticed there are a couple of American Indians, but you don't see any African Americans unless they're slaves. They will show people as slaves, but that's it. Now, I want to show you a painting of the Battle of Bunker Hill. Here's the Battle of Bunker Hill. Bunch of white guys, right? Unless you know where to look. Right here. That's Peter Salem. He was actually the hero of the battle. It doesn't look like he's a hero there. He looks like he's cowering behind the white guy with a sword. He was the hero of the battle. And he saved scores of American lives that day. Why don't we know this? Look here. African American helping row the boat across. You know what his name was? Prince Whipple. He fought alongside Washington during the Revolution. Take a look at this one. This painting of, this is the Marquis de Lafayette. He, if you look at this, you just think, oh yeah, and then he made his slave dress up like I don't know what. But that's what you would think, right? This guy is incredibly important. This guy may have won the Revolutionary War. James Armistead was his name. How did he win the Revolutionary War? Double spy. I'm going to let David tell the story here in a minute, but basically the Brits thought that he was spying for them, but he was spying for General Washington. He'd give the Brits bad intel and reveal the good critical information to General Washington. Did you know this story? Why? I'm so tired of people saying, well, it was just the white people, white people, white people. No. No. Why are we intentionally leaving others out? There are black founders in history. If I asked the audience, when did America have its first African-American judge? What year would you say? Anybody, take a guess. Judge. 1860s? Anybody? 1770. 1770. Amy, is that just a wild guess?
No, it's not. I wasn't sure exactly, but I think it's about
1770. Tell me.
1768.
You mentioned affirmations there. It's one of the main things I learned at the seminar, and I actually read my affirmations out loud as I walk down the sidewalk to the tube every morning. And when people walk by me, I try to force myself to say them louder. You like that one?
Yeah.
And just because I get it out, and I'm proud of them, and I just manifest them. And if people want to hear me, well, I don't really care, because it helps me just be into those.
Yeah.
Your affirmations. You still say them in the morning?
I say them every night. No, okay, I don't say them in the morning anymore. Okay. I used to say them morning when I first got up. During that same time period that I'm just talking about, the 3, 4, 5 minutes, although it takes me long because I have 19 affirmations. But I say them before I go to bed with my prayers. I still say my prayers every night. At 70, I don't know how unusual that is. I'm not a priest, or, you know, God forbid. But, I mean, I say my prayers and I say my affirmations.
And you have an affirmation for every goal?
No, I have, actually I have more affirmations than I have goals. Because I have 3 kids, so I have one goal and 3 affirmations for that one goal, because it's for 3 different kids. And now I have a granddaughter, so I've added a 4th affirmation off of the one goal. So I have about 7 or 8 more affirmations than I have goals.
Can you give us an example of what
one might be? I'm excited every day enhancing Sally Hall, the love of my life, my wife, be all she can be. And her engaging in something that scares her every day. And as a chartered accountant with multiple degrees, she's risk averse.
Right.
She can look at the numbers and say, there's only an 8% probability that's going to happen. Forget that 8% shit. Pretend it's 80. She'll look, but Dan, I know it's 8. I can't block that out. So that's one of my goals. I'm excited, thrilled, I'm pushing my mentees towards the goal line every day beyond their comfort zones. And I got a bunch of them. I've got a bunch of kids, you know. I've got, on any given day, I asked you last night, how come I know the 100 business models of my mentees better than they do? Good question. Is it because I want their success more than they do? Yes. Is it because I know... the better I know their model, the harder I can push them? Yes. Is it because I know I can make them more accountable, the better I know their business model? Yes. I know their business model. They wish I didn't know their fucking business model so well. Because I can look at their weekly reports and say, that's horse shit. That didn't happen. I'll email with a big red font in between, do you want to correct that answer? And sheepishly, I can just see him type it. Oh, it must be a mistake. I'm sorry. It's not a mistake. They just thought they got sloppy. They thought they bullshit me. They thought I forgot. I don't forget anything.
You once told me, I was asking you about you writing emails to all these people, and I was like, why, Dan? And you're like, because I see so much potential in you.
Yeah, I do. It pisses me off. And I see more potential in than their parents see.
Kind of things happen in this office? I mean, yeah, what happens? I mean, this is where you used to do all your deals. Like, what would we be surprised to know that happens in here conversation-wise? Is there a lot of yelling, or is there
a lot of people cry. a lot of people make the decision to split up their relationship in business, their partners. A lot of people decide that they're with their significant other for the wrong reason.
You have a high divorce rate.
Yes, we have well over 50%. Most people are together for the wrong reasons. Most people go into business with people for the wrong reasons. It's very seldom that you get two or three people that are really hot on an industry and a vertical in that industry that can stay focused year after year. They just don't. Most people too easily lose focus. Here when they're asking me, and I've in the numbers that they fill out and in the forms they fill out are really discerning, like some of the new stuff that you didn't have when you filled it out. What's the high point of your life? Okay. What's the high point of your father's life? What's the high point of your mother's life?
That tells you a lot.
Fucking A right it does.
You can pretty much make the diagnosis there.
Correct. And then do you consider your parents high performance? If not, why not? Okay. Do your parents consider themselves high performers? That's a funky question, but I mean, you may think your dad's not a high performance guy, and yet your dad thinks he's a high performance guy. Because most people want to, look at their dad as their hero and that kind of thing. And there's really no reason to look at your dad as a hero. He's an honest, decent guy. Most of our parents, in the world, live paycheck to paycheck, hand to mouth. Okay? If that's all you've seen, and you go away to university, if you go to university, that's your norm.
You're still programmed into that behavior.
Correct. The biggest challenge that kids have, not just the kids that come to the seminar, but the kids that use the content, the free content, the 99% of them that I've never met, is that they go into default. Their default are their old habits. It's quite easy to go back to, let's take in a movie, dinner, and let's go out bar hopping. And I'm not saying, God knows I did that. But I mean, it's pretty fucking, it's pretty easy to go into that default.
Right.
Or just sit around, let's say, during the World Cup or the Olympics and just watch the Olympics. I happen to be able to watch the Olympics. And I normally have another laptop here. And I'm reading CNN and I can do two or three things at once.
You're multitasking.
Okay, I'm fortunate.
I signed this bat for you last night, by the way. By the way, your students gave you the bat.
Yeah, Theodore.
Did you see my signature? There? I put it there.
Okay, wait a minute.
That was for you, Dan.
Yeah. QLA Rose.
Brian QLA Rose.
Does your passport say that yet? There it is.
Now, I thought this was some reference to the Untouchable movie where the guy walks around with the bat.
It
is a reference to
that. That's what Theodore was saying.
Peace to God. Excuse me. Tuned in with Freedom Friday, Joseph Kimmel Jr. Today I want to talk about alpha and beta. We all know the difference. Alphas are a lot more aggressive and betas are, a lot more chill. But there's also alphas that are chill but just use their aggressiveness, at the right time. But, that's the biggest question. As a male, are you an alpha or a beta? You know what I'm saying? We each have those alpha and beta traits in us. Some more beta than others, some more alpha. That's why some of us just don't get along, because one person might be a little bit more too aggressive than the other. And, That's why, you know, like with fishes. I forgot what type of fishes they are. They're the alphas and betas. You can't put them in the same place because the alphas are going to fight each other, you know. And even if it's a beta, a friendly fish, the alpha is so aggressive, he still, you know, he doesn't like nobody in the space. So, reading his book called The Rational Male. Read a little part that I thought was a little bit interesting. Should help people younger, my age, and also older than me. So here it goes. Appreciation. I think what most men uniquely deceive themselves of is that they will ultimately be appreciated by women for their sacrifices. Learn this now. You won't. You can't be, because women fundamentally lack the capacity to fully realize, much less appreciate, the sacrifices a man makes to facilitate her reality. Even the most enlightened, appreciative woman you know still operates in a feminine-centric reality. Men making a personal sacrifice is necessary to honor, respect, and love her are commonplace. You're supposed to do those things. You sacrifice your ambitions and potential to provide her with a better life. You were supposed to. You resisted temptation and didn't cheat on your wife with the hot secretary who is down to fuck and ready to go. Responsibilities to maintaining a marriage, a home, your family, etc. are commonplace. They're expected. They are only appreciated in their absence, in their lack, and in their failing. This is the totality of the feminine-centric reality. Men only exist to facilitate the feminine reality, and any man who disputes this or even analyzes its aspect is by definition not a man. It just is. Even the most self-serving maverick among men is still beholden to the feminine imperative, and that he's only defined as a rebel because he doesn't comply with the common practices of men in a female-defined reality. Ironically, it's just this maverick who is appreciated by the feminine above. By the feminine above those men who would comply with it, or even promote it. As a matter of course. The concept of appreciation dovetails into a lot of other aspects of intergender relations. So try to bear this in mind as you continue reading. For instance, assume for a moment that a 40-year-old man with the options to pursue younger women does the right thing and seeks out a relationship with a woman his own age. Would he be appreciated for essentially giving an aged woman a new lease on life, or would he be viewed as doing what is to be expected of him? Would a man who marries a single mother and helps with the parental investment of another man's child be appreciated more for having done so? Would it even factor into a woman's estimation of his character? Or would he simply doing what's expected of a man? The question of appreciation is a real quandary for the white knight. Relationships aren't work. Familiarity does, in fact, breed contempt and mediocrity and routine and banality and commonness, which is why so many marriages end up in the shit can. Men and women give up on themselves. The relationships are work. Meme is a feminine social convention. Yeah, the relationships are work meme is a feminine social convention. How often do you hear men say these words? This convention has filtered into popular consciousness, even amongst men now. For the long-term relationship men who subscribe to this, I'd also speculate that many of them are in relationships where they are doing the work for the women who are giving them the grade, so to speak. And of the single men who subscribe to this mythology, each had to be conditioned to believe this is the case in long-term relationships by women. This is rooted in a mistaken belief that men's actions and sacrifices... Wait, I was missing something here. Yeah. All right, that was right. Okay. My bad. That I missed something there. This is rooted in the mistaken belief that men's actions and sacrifices can ever be appreciated by women. What would the best method be to get a man to live up to the idealizations idealizations a woman has as her perfect mate? However twisted and convoluted this may have been defined for her. Women love the fixer-upper. He'd be such a great guy if only he would blank. Or she'll say, I'm working on him. It's when the conditioning goes from I'm working on him to we're working on our relationship that he has now internalized her frame control. This is where the mythology of relationships as work is derived from. How often is it the woman who needs to work in the relationship? And if it is her, the terminology of the relationship and the association change. Work implies a man better conforming his identity to her ideal relationship to better fit the feminine-centric reality. What better way to initiate this than to psychologically condition him to want to embody her ideal even before he's ever met a woman or been involved in a relationship. Appreciation. Women should only ever be a compliment to a man's life, never the focus of it. Common it is today to be married or getting married before we've realized any of our potential. For all the articles I read moaning and groaning about what a listless generation of cadet males we've inherited, that's far removed from the reality of the young man I do consults with. No, what they want is just enough game knowledge to connect with their dream girl and relax into a blissful beta cocoon of monogamy. They want to commit. Their lifetime average frustrated chump psychological conditioning makes commitment an urgency. It never ceases to amaze me when I talk with these young men in their teens and 20s, and they try to impress me with their fierce independence in other realm of their lives, yet they are the same guys who are so ready to limit their independence and ambition in exchange for dependable female intimacy. They're far too eager to slap on the handcuffs of monogamy rather than develop themselves into men of ambition and passion that women naturally want to be associated with. The truth, however, is that the longer you remain uncommitted, the more opportunities will be available to you. It's been stated by wise men that women are dream killers. And while I agree with this, I say this is due more to the man involved and their own complacency and apathy than some grand scheme of women. It's actually in women's best interest that you don't commit to them for a variety of reasons. I realize how counterintuitive that reads, but and you know, being so readily available, you decrease your value as a commodity to them. Scarcity increases value, and particularly when the reason for that scarcity is something that serves another interest. Hers in this example, the mid-20s man pursuing his ambition to become an attorney in law school, or the pre-med intern spending long hours at the hospital with aspirations of becoming a doctor, is hindered and encumbered with the complications that maintaining a monogamous relationship necessitates of him. His time and efforts need to be applied to achieving his goals to become an even higher value man, not just in terms of financial success, but for his own edification and confidence. Needless to say, the constraints and obligations that maintaining a monogamous relationship requires, both in time and emotional investment, make achieving these ambitions far more difficult. I tend to promote the idea that men should be sexually, emotionally, and relationally non-exclusive until the age 30, but this is a minimal suggestion. I think 35 may even serve better for men. The importance being that as a man ages and matures in his career, his ambitions and passions, his personality, his ability to better judge character, his overall understanding of behavior and motivations, etc., he becomes more viable to the most desirable woman and therefore enjoys better opportunity in this respect. Women's sexual value decreases as they age, and it's at this point the balance tips into the maturing man's favor. It's the man who realizes this early and understand that bettering themselves in the now will pay off better in the future while still enjoying and learning from the opportunities that come from being non-exclusive and non-committal make him a man that women will compete for in the long term. In your mid-20s, you are at the apex of your potential with regards to the direction you want to influence your life to go. I'm not going to make any friends by pointing this out, but what pisses off most serial monogamous is the unspoken regret of having assumed the responsibilities, liabilities, and accountability of what monogamy demands before they truly understand, much less realize their personal potentials. If you are single at 35 with a moderate amount of personal success, you are the envy of mandom because you possess two of the most valuable resources most men your age or older statistically do not: time and the ability to maneuver. I envy you. You are unshackled by the responsibilities, liabilities, and accountabilities that most men your age in marriage, long-term relationships with children, or recovering from divorce must contend with daily. Without any intention, you are in such a position that you can go in any direction of your choosing without considering the impact of your choice for anyone but yourself. Many other men in the most ideal of long-term relationships do not have this luxury. When you think of all the responsibilities that are required of most men and women in modern life today, you have won the lottery. I was asked once, would I buy money with no object, to which I answered, time. Power isn't financial resources, status, or influence over others. Power is the degree over which you control your own life. And right now, if I've just described you, you are powerful. Trust me. This is as good as it gets. This is made all the better because you are old enough to understand and appreciate what is really at work here. Women are damaged goods for you now. So what? You have the freedom to sample as indiscriminately or as particularly as you choose. Can't find a good long-term relationship? Why would you want to? Let her find you. You fear you'll end up old and lonely? I'd fear ended up so paralyzed by fear of loneliness that you'd settle for a lifetime of complacent misery in a passion adherent of the build it, and they will come to school. School of thought in this regard. Women should only ever be a compliment to a man's life, never the focus of it. Is it better to choose a path of least resistance to get to an idealized, prefabricated intimacy, or develop and get the same prefabricating intimacy, or self-develop and get the same intimacy? True, both instances put women as the focus of a man's life, and this is a position that most women will find endearing at first, but suffocating in the end. Women want their men. Women want a man who other men want to be, and other women, what the fuck? She doesn't want a slave to her intimacy, since this puts her in the masculine role. Rather, she wants a decisive, mature man who has the confidence to put her off, to tell her no, in favor of his ambitions and passions, as this serves two purposes. First, it sets his frame and his direction as the one of authority, and his development as the primary, the results of which she and her potential children will benefit from. Secondly, it puts her into a position of chasing after him. Essentially, his legitimate ambitions and passions become the other woman with which she must compete for his attention. Note that I say legitimate ambitions here. And women involved with a law student or an intern who have the potential to become lawyers and doctors are fairly solid bets for future security. An artist or musician, no matter how talented or committed to their passions, will only be viewed as beneficial if they can prove their case to select women. However, this can be offset by single-minded determination. Once again, we'll select women with a capacity to appreciate the strive. This said, think about the fellow who's chosen to be a plumber or a mechanic as his calling. The best plumber in the world is only going so far unless he has dreams to own his own business. All of this is limited by man's attitude towards the opposite sex. Women are dream killers, not because they have an agenda to be so, but because men will all too willingly sacrifice their ambitions for a steady supply of pussy and the responsibilities that women attach to this. So yes, it is better to develop yourself rather than take the path of least resistance. That's not to say don't sarge until you're out of college in your 30s and have your career in order. It is to say don't consider monogamy until you are mature enough to understand its limiting effects and you've achieved a degree of success to your own satisfaction, according to your ambitions and passions. It is also to say that women should complement and support your plans for your own life. Our great danger in this life is not that we aim too high and fail, but that we aim too low and succeed. Blah, blah. Let's see, what else was I looking at? Something else I wanted to look at. Nope. That's not it. We're going to go up and read. I think that was pretty much. I don't want to read about. You know, basically, you know, sometimes men will sacrifice ourselves for women and certain things we don't need to. As far as our ambitions and certain stuff like that, we need to be on top of that at all times. You know, so we can be better. Better, you know, just be our better selves. I mean, we already know that, but sometimes, you know, we get caught up in this, I guess you could say, feminine. Everything is really feminine. A lot of the ideals of what women say we should do, this, that, and the third, it's all made up by women, you know, and at the end of the day, it's about us. You know, like I said, a woman should compliment you. Shouldn't be the focus of your life. And that's where a lot of us make a mistake. You know, especially people my age. Before we've realized how much potential we have or how much, you know, really how much potential we truly have. I don't know how much potential I truly have yet. I'm still you know, going, growing every day. And, you know, I'm not as successful as I want to be. A lot of people say, oh, you can have the girlfriend in a minute. And I'm like, I really don't want to. I guess because you got playing my career. But yeah, you know, I'm just trying to definitely better myself as we all are doing every day. You know, I'm not going to lie. You know, society is very, I guess you could say, pussy or snowflakes, whatever you want to call it. A lot of people melt under pressure. You know what I'm saying? With their women, with anything, really. With anything, they just melt You know, we need a lot more alpha males in our society. There's too many betas. You know, there's nothing wrong with a beta. I mean, if you're beta, you're beta. But I'd rather you be an alpha, because that's truly what women love. You know what I'm saying? The alpha males. You know what I'm saying? I'm not being some aggressive asshole, but definitely stick to your guns and definitely hold out on committing till you are successful. You know what I'm saying? I mean that in your degree, at least. You know what I mean? Till you're successful in your degree. And, you know what I'm saying? We all know what being in a relationship comes with. It comes with a lot of stuff. You know what I'm saying? Yeah, the woman might have your back, but eventually, when you handle it like a beta, I mean, you know, you find out the woman wasn't for you. You know, I mean, I use the hand in everything like an alpha. I really don't care. I tell women, really, you know, you take it or leave it. I mean, I'm going to be me regardless. Like, either you're going to love me or you're not. You're going to, you know, apparently you mess with me because you give me time of day. I may not like that I'm not kissing your ass or, you know, worshiping the ground that you walk in, but care for that shit. Because you're not worshiping the ground that I walk on. So if you're not doing that, can't do it for you. You know what I'm saying? It should be something that's mutual. You know what I'm saying? Any relationship. And that's why, you know, as much as bad as it sounds, you know, we should probably be talking to a whole bunch of different females until, you know, find the right one. I mean, women do it all the time. There's nothing wrong with a woman having fucking five backups while she's in a fucking long-term relationship. So, what's wrong with you having that? Or you, while you're talking to so-called woman you think is going to be the one, having others for backup. You know what I'm saying? Women like a man who they have to fight for. You know what I'm saying? You have to make them want to fight for you. But, yeah, I mean, I didn't really have much to talk about today except that. Just want you guys to be alpha males and, you know, definitely. What's something else I wanted to look at? Okay. Surprise is that. Okay, well, I guess we can look at one more thing in the book. And we can look at damn, this is a long fucking chapter. Okay, yeah, this is what we're going to look at. Dispelling the magic. Below is a response I gave to a guy I was counseling. I thought it's sufficiently insightful to post on the blog in regards to a pretty common topic that comes up. I think you'll agree. Is it possible to identify with women without compromising yourself? If it is a conscious effort on the guy's part, no. When I refer to identifying with a woman, this could use some explanation. What exactly is identifying with a woman? The root of this word is identity, meaning who you are and what characteristics, traits, and interests constitute your individual personality. Identity, in a way, is a projective and historic term, kind of like trying to define what art is. It can be argued that identity is what you make of it. While at university, my field of specialization in behavioral psychology was personality studies, and I can tell you there are a lot of theories and interpretations of what constitutes identity. However, one article that is agreed upon almost universally is that identity and personality are never static and are malleable and changeable due to influencing variables and conditions. A very pronounced the soldiers returning from combat with post-traumatic stress disorder. And a very identifiable and verifiable form of psychosis. These men are changed individuals, and their identities are altered from the time they were subject to the psychological rigors of warfare to returning back to a normalized life. Some have the resilience to adjust their personalities back to a somewhat normalized state. Others, sadly, do not. Yet, in each case, change was influenced by conditions and environment. Likewise, most young men are subject to their own set of personal conditions and environments, and their personalities and identities reflect this accordingly. The guy who's naturally lucky with the ladies is going to reflect this in his identity. The young man who doesn't receive regular female attention for whatever reasons, is going to manifest this condition in his identity. The guy who is focused on his own ambitions is going to reflect this in his own personality as well. But for all, when conditions are such that they feel deprived of certain experiences in their own life, this creates a conflict between a former identity and the altering of or forming of a new one to meet the need of this experience. Couple this with the natural chemical hormonal desire for sexual experience, and you can see how powerful and influenced deprivation becomes to a man's identity. Far too many young men maintain the notion that for them to receive the female intimacy they desire, they should necessarily become more like the target of their affection than their own personality. In essence, to mold their own identity to better match the girl they think will best satisfy this need. So, we see examples of men compromising their self-interest to better accommodate the interests of the woman they desire to facilitate this need for intimacy. Example 6. We all know the old cliche, women are all too fond of repeating. Guys will do anything to get laid. And this is certainly not limited to altering their individual identities and even conditions to better facilitate this. It's all too common an example to see men select college based on the available women at that college rather than academic merit to fit their own ambitions, or even choose a college to better maintain a pre-existing relationship that a woman has chosen and the young man follows. In order to justify these choices, he will alter his identity and personality by creating rationals and new mental schema to validate this decision for himself. It becomes an ego protection mechanism for a decision he, on some level, really knows was made for him. This is just one glaring example of identifications, but thousands more subtle ones exist that men and women pass off as social mores and contrivances. The guy stuck in the friend zone who got the "let's just be friends" line when he attempted to become intimate with his target will happily listen to her drone on for hours on the phone in order to find out how better to alter himself to fit her conditions for intimate acceptability. He will readily change his mind about even his own personal beliefs if it will better fit what he perceives is her criteria for compatibility with her. This is the compromise of identity. To fundamentally and voluntarily alter one's own personality to achieve the acceptability of another. When we are directly and overtly faced with this sort of challenge to our beliefs, we naturally recoil. You are your own person, and what resists were your employer or your burdensome parents to tell you how you should vote, political belief. But when it comes to personality and sexual intimacy interests and done voluntarily, it's surprising to see the limits of what men, and to an extent women, will do. Men will entertain the idea that a long-distance relationship is a desirable arrangement, even if the intimacy has never occurred, because The potential of that intimacy is a perceived possibility. These same guys will espouse every reasoning they can conceive as to why their relationship is different, and that they believe that love conquers all, only to come full circle when he or she cheats or breaks off the relationship and the man comes back to his prior thinks new understanding that long distance relationships are in fact a bad prospect. His identity changed and then changed again to accommodate his conditions. However, it's not that he never truly changed or had the belief in the first place. For these guys to take a polygraph test at the time, they would indeed pass when asked if this was what they actually accepted as truth. Men will do what most deductively solves a problem. And in this, he is only following the tenets of deductive pragmatism. I need sex, plus women have the sex I want, plus I must discover what women want to give me sex, plus ask women, plus women want X equals I will do X to get sex and alter my own identity in order to better facilitate X. It should be this easy, but that's rarely the case, since more often than not, women are unaware of what X really is, or X is subject to consist change depending on her own conditions, her innate hypergamy, etc. Now, after all of this, is it possible that a man and a woman may in fact share genuine common interests? Of course, you may indeed find a perfectly beautiful woman that enjoys NASCAR or hockey as much as you. You may find a woman you're attracted to who genuinely shares your passion for deep sea fishing. It's not uncommon to share common interests. It's when you alter your interests to better facilitate a connection that you force it, making this determination between genuine interests and created interests is the hair that needs splitting. I've personally advised guys who have literally changed careers to be in a better place to proposition a girl they fancied. I know men who moved thousands of miles to live closer to women who never appreciated their interest in them, yet they continue to attempt to identify themselves with her. I know 65-year-old men in 40-year marriages who, even after intimacy was resolved years ago with the woman, are still attempting to identify with their wives because they've internalized this identity compromise as a standard means to getting sex from her. Their wives' expectations of them have become their identity, and at 65, this mental schema has become so ego invested that no amount of shedding light on their condition will ever convince them of anything to the opposite. Most ironic thing about this identity crisis is that the least attractive thing to most women is a man who is willing to compromise any part of his identity to placate to her, much less a wholesale selling out of it. Women are naturally attracted to that masculine independence, as it represents a very strong cue for security and the potential to provide that security to her and any children she may have. Women don't want a man who will do everything she says, because that sends the message that this man can be brought with even the prospect of a sexual encounter. Why would that indicate anything more than insecurity and a lack of confidence? Women want to be told no and constantly test a man's resolve to say this to her, aka shit testing, in order to affirm that she's made the right choice, even in marriage. Of a guy who will put his sexual impulse, knowing full well how powerful it is with men, on hold to stick to his own self-interest, beliefs, and ambitions. This covertly communicates to a woman that his goals and determination trump her one real power over him, her sexuality. That is the man who is the prize, the great catch, the male to be competed for with other women. Self-love
is not so great a sin as self-neglect. Thought those two parts were pretty interesting. I've been reading that. I'm reading another book, but read that next week. Read some parts out of that next week for you guys. Didn't have much to talk about today. Just want to talk about that. Definitely sacrifice your ambitions and different stuff like that for these women. You know, there's nothing wrong with them, but you know, the right one will follow you, and you would definitely be rewarded much more nicely when you stick to your ambitions. I'm telling you, you won't go wrong. How are you gonna lose when you're successful? Women love a successful man. You know what I'm saying? So can't lose when you stick to your guns. I mean, that's what I'm basically doing that for a while now, and definitely been very, very, very good. You know what I'm saying? You got to be confident in your own abilities to win this fucking, I don't know, the so-called losing battle that we're in, you know, that you have to compromise for a woman. Compromising shit. Because at the end of the day, I'm just keeping real with y'all. These women don't be compromising shit for us. So, I mean, yeah, women compromise, but that's only when you're successful. That's only when you're doing good. When you're doing bad, or you know what I'm saying, you don't have something they want, they're not going to compromise for you. You shouldn't compromise for them. You know what I'm saying? That's when you go into the beta male role, a more, I guess you say, feminine role, and give her the masculinity. And that's definitely not the case. But we're going to go to the phone lines. 343-3423. Peace to the gods.
Peace to the gods. Can I be heard?
Yep.
What's going on? I got bad signals, so I ain't know. What's going on, man? What's good?
Not much. Just, you know, living and learning.
Yeah, what's the name of that book you was reading there?
The Rational Man. The Rational Male. It's by Rollo Tomasi. Rollotomassi.
Well, what type of dude is that? Is that a what nationality is that?
Shoot, I don't even know, to be honest with you.
Yeah, I never heard that name before. Okay, that type of name. that's a tough one right there, man. I could see a lot of women not caring for that information too much, but I would have to say I agreed with, you know, what I was hearing. There wasn't too much that didn't sound kind of on point. It was kind of blunt, but it sounded about right. So that was a tough one right there.
But you know, even though they wouldn't agree, it would work in their favor.
Yeah, but man, how do you get somebody to realize that?
No, I mean, they naturally want that. That's what they naturally want. That's why they, when they're in relationships with men, they cheat with other men, because they're trying to find that alpha male.
Yeah, man, that's that info was sounding right on point, man. I think there was a lot of good info for them to hear in there. But, you know, I don't know if they necessarily care to be hearing that too much. But yeah, I definitely agree with what the book was pointing out there.
Especially about the appreciation part. We see that all too well.
Oh man, that was hitting home right there, boy. See, I was always the type, I don't like to have to say something more than like once or twice, you know what I'm saying? Something that should be kind of common, you know, common knowledge or whatever. And so once I say something once or twice, you know, I don't even really speak no more on it. It's just you're going to see some changes in me, and you should be able to figure out from the information I already gave you, you know, that I'm unhappy about something I hadn't already told you about. Now, fair enough, maybe I didn't break down to my mate that's how I was going about things. I mean, but I don't know if it would have mattered if I would explain that or not. But,
nope.
When I was first married, man, I used to just naturally, you know, just wanna do the best for her, really. You know what I mean? Like, you know, we had a nice car and everything right out the gate. You know, that was her whip. You know what I mean? That's how I always see my parents did it. You know, we had two cars. My mom always had the nicer one. It's just, you know, how it went. And I was always putting her first, kind of like I thought I should, but I never felt like she realized that that's how I was going about things or that she appreciated. And so, man, once I was like, man, this chick don't even appreciate when I'm trying to do right or even exceed what I'm supposed to be doing, man, I started falling back from that in hopes that maybe she would notice, because I already kind of expressed it verbally. And I said, well, I'm going to just start acting differently. And then, you know, maybe she'll get the point that way. But, man, it never happened. I started showing less and less appreciation and effort. And she never really caught on, but I mean, like I was saying, my first natural instinct was to be the way that book was describing, but I never felt like it was acknowledged or appreciated. You know what I mean? So, that book was 100% accurate.
I already know, man. Shoot, that's why I had to put it on the airways, man.
Yeah, man.
Because me, it's just, like you said, it's the way society is set up. That's what we're supposed to do. Oh, you're supposed to sacrifice, you know, your opportunities for your wife or your girlfriend. That's what you're supposed to do. You're supposed to do all this stuff.
But and now the way it is, you know, like you know Joe Budden.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he got a song where he say, I think he say, I don't know if you remember when he proposed to that girl on live TV that one time.
Yeah, I mean,
That was Love and Hip Hop, so you might not even watch that nonsense. But, you know, he did that. He rejected him live on TV, which was kind of messed up. So he wrote a song or whatever, and he was saying, I guess, he wasn't even talking about her. He was referring to his first chick, I guess, but he said, like, she killed a nigga and birthed one all in the same move, basically saying, you know, he was treating her one way, and, you know, she's totally disrespected that, and she killed the nigga that he was originally was, and now he's a different type of dude in the way he approaches girls. And that's the same way it's with me too. You know, my first instinct and the way I used to approach things, which was to be very kind and basically try to treat them like a queen, as long as that's how they was acting, which didn't last long, you know. All that shit out the window, man. I hate to even be like that, but it's just like, what's the point? Like, and now it's going to be reversed. Like, I'll eventually start treating you that way once I see that that's the way you deserve to be treated because of how you conduct yourself and and all that. And I know they're out there, and so it's going to just take the time for me to come across someone like that. But, yeah, all that shit out the window. Ain't. I'm still a nice person and all that. I treat people right. But most definitely I'm not going to be, you know, putting it all out there like that in the beginning, or even maybe for quite a while with a lot of these females, till I actually see this is something they naturally do on their own. This is how this person really is. Now I feel like she deserves a little more of me and all that type of stuff. You know what I'm saying?
Yep. I already know.
Yep. I'm sad it got to be that way, though, because, you know, they could have it right off the rip, but a lot of niggas, I feel, is going to go down that same path where they start out like that, but after two or three chicks, like, all acting the same, they're like, man, fuck that. Like, what am I working that hard for?
So for nothing. You should see, this is the thing about it. It's so fucked up because, you know, once you realize you need to be working a lot more harder towards your, you know what I'm saying, your goals and making sure you're successful and stuff like that, you start to see women just naturally fall in your lap because you focus on other stuff. And they have to fight for your attention now. I mean, I don't do it on purpose, but that's just how I naturally am, man. You know, I've always been that way. Even when I had a girlfriend, I was always worried about, you know, a Benz came before my girlfriend. Shoot. Real talk.
Wow, I feel you. Mm-hmm.
Hey. Take it or leave it. She ain't here, so. And that don't matter to me, cause at the end of the day, hey, it's other women that
like the book said, they're there to compliment her. It says something along them lines. So yeah, you really should be focused on the things you want, you know, and that's why it's good. It was talking about having somebody that is kind of on the same page as and relates to you. So. A lot of times, things you want is going to be the same type of thing she's into anyways.
Yep. Well, she's going to start liking your interests just because she likes you. But never change your interests for her.
Exactly. Yeah. Man, dog, oh, man. I mean, you know, back in the day, you know, I like, you know, we used to hoop and all that, but man, soon as my niggas started getting married, man, some of them niggas just started like disappearing, and it was the female, and it'd be like, bro, like, this is what you was doing before you got married. I don't understand how it stopped it now all of a sudden. Like, that don't even make sense, bro. You still like to play, so I don't understand, but there was a lot of kids like that, man. I never let that shit stop me from hooping.
Just because they got a kid and a female. Because this is the problem. That woman is their only form of intimacy. That's what happens. It's the only form of intimacy for them. So they have to do all these things. Have to make sure you're getting her this and that. Make sure you're spending time with her. You know what I'm saying? Hell no. I mean, I'm not saying I'm not going to do that for a female, but definitely gonna be for the right one.
The right one.
Yeah, you know what I'm saying?
A lot of them don't deserve it, in my opinion. Being honest.
They don't deserve it from you.
Not from me.
They can get it from somewhere else. I don't care about that.
Yeah, some dudes can go for it now. They can go find them.
Right.
You want to know it's crazy, bro? Oh, go ahead, man.
No, I'm just about to say, you know, that's really our biggest problem in our community. We invest so much time into these women instead of, you know what I'm saying, especially our age. Nothing wrong with having sex, but we commit too early. We do. And then now we're scarred because we don't went through a divorce or been in a relationship for so many years. Sometimes we stick it out just because we think, oh, she's the only one for me. I want to be lonely. You know,
a lot of stuff, or we sacrifice a big opportunity just because now she's pregnant or this has happened, when that should make you want to go harder in whatever ambition you're doing. That's why I never good. Like, when people be like, yeah, my girlfriend got pregnant, so I stopped playing basketball, football. I'm like, are you stupid? That should have made you go harder. That should have made you go even harder, because now you have, you know what I'm saying, child in the world. So you have to make it pro or make something of whatever you're doing now.
Right.
And then now they mad because they done sacrificed it, but really it was for the woman, because they, you know, it's just crazy, you know.
It is, bro. It is. It's, then, you know, the
you know,
whole
you know,
world
you know,
is in reverse.
And
then
you
ahead,
know what's the funny part about it? They're not even together no more.
Yeah, that happens a lot too. Yep.
So it's like, wow, you just made this big sacrifice for nothing.
That's how niggas be losing a lot of they like their youthful years when they could have been doing something productive, and they put all that time in something like that, and then it don't even end up working out. I mean, that drains a lot out of a man. A man that already has it hard enough trying to navigate this, you know, European society anyways. You know what I mean? That could be six years when he really could be making a difference, you know, with himself and what, you know? Yeah, it is what it is. But I ain't been messing with females the last couple of years. I've been strictly trying to do this study and get off child support so that, because I knew it was going to be an extra distraction. You know what I mean? And I needed all this stuff to happen as soon as possible. I didn't want to be held up. So I made that decision. And I think it was smart, because, you know, they take time and energy.
They do. But I give them when I got time. I tell them straight up, when I got time. You know what I'm saying? You can't respect that I'm trying to be a better person. Well, then that's fine. I ain't got time for you. Go ahead.
Somebody else
go be with
somebody
else. Yeah, you can go to somebody established, or you know what I'm saying. Once I'm established, you're gonna come back anyways. So
exactly.
That'd be the funniest part about it. As soon as you get established, now they trying to fight. Oh, you remember this? And then, man, fuck out of here. You ain't want to stick around while I was shooting in the gym. You ain't want to. Shoot, for real. That shit real.
Uh-huh.
I mean, I respect it. I respect it just like they got respected. You feel what I'm saying?
Uh-huh.
When it's flipped. Because this is where we fuck up. We give women to control over, you know what I'm saying? Like, we give women a lot of control over how a man should be, this, that, and the third. When it's not even about that. The biggest thing is, do you like the man or not? Or do you like the female or not? And it's just that simple. All that extra shit is really just, you know, addition to the person.
Uh-huh. Yeah, you know, the world is, you know, just like our law and our commerce, you know, it's all backwards as opposed to how it really is. You know, when you do the thing hindsight teaches you, that's when you become a lot more successful dealing with law, dealing with commerce. And our females are instructed to be backwards, too. And it also isn't working out very well, but that's exactly how they were developed on purpose, you know, and you know that. And so it's just, they're just fulfilling the role of doing things backwards, like they were formed and molded to. And but, you know, that's the part you can't get them to understand. You know, it's not even their fault. So a lot of times they have such a hard time admitting the truth, you know. It's fine. It's not even your fault, but you got to realize you were purposely misled to think you're supposed to be in control and running shit and wilding out and all this. and it ain't been working for generations now. Maybe it's time to maybe try something else.
Change.
Yeah, you know what I mean? But you can't break it down like that.
Yeah, you can. That's why I said this is where we come in. This is where we make change. We, you know what I'm saying? You have to be a difference.
Like you said, you got to have that bread with you. That will help a lot.
It's not even about the bread. The bread is an addition, of course, but it all starts with how you know what I'm saying, really, the inside, internalize, starts from the inside, being the alpha, you know what I'm saying, little different things on how you just, you know what I'm saying, because women do really shit test you, you know what I'm saying, see if you're going to say yes or no to certain things.
Yeah, man, it make no sense. I was driving yesterday with my window down. This lady come around the corner. You know, it's a big ass street, a lot of trucks and everything, man. Why this when this lady's come around the corner, I can hear her yelling into the phone at her man. It's like man, like I don't know. It just struck me wrong. It's like that type of shit shouldn't even be going on. And I know it's like. It's that type of shit be on the regular. And, man,
yo,
it's just stuff
like
love
that.
Love
and hip-hop shit. It's the love and hip-hop. Right. All that little dumbass shows. Shit.
Man. And I know we mess up, but damn, you know, I shouldn't be able to hear you all the way in another car as you whipping by. Like, that's, you know, to me, that's too much. It's too much. And if you really feel that angry, you know, that's the other half of it. They got to change, too, because they complain about us all day. But they don't change themselves in a way to force us, you know, to maybe make some changes as far as how we treat them. Because we do some things dirty, but for the most part, that's because they are allowing it. You know what I'm saying? We ain't going to do nothing that they don't allow. You know, so... that's another thing. I'd be like, damn, man, you that miserable with this person, and they doing you like this. Why do you just keep accepting it? I don't understand.
Yeah. I forgot what I was about to say. I just went blank just now. Something I was about to say. But yeah, you're definitely right about that. Damn. I just went blink just now. I definitely forgot what I was about to say. Oh, that's what I was about to say. And that's what he was mentioning about the whole relationship is work meme. Is, you know what I'm saying? Is a feminine meme. Basically, he was just saying, like, you know, most times it's the woman that needs to work. What'd you say? Breaking up.
You can't hear me?
Yeah, I can hear you now.
I was saying in a certain areas, they do hold a lot of the cards, you know, because we love the pussy, you know what I'm saying? So, obviously, if they tighten their standards on what they're going to allow for us to be able to get that, we don't conform to that, except unless a nigga's a rapist, you know what I'm saying? That's where they hold the most of the cards, but they're using it
in the
wrong way. You know what I'm saying? Instead of using it to, say that again?
Yeah, but them, when they be talking about that stuff, they be lying. And you know they be lying because they give it up to you know, to anybody. If they just like
that, that's what I'm saying. That's what I'm saying. So what do? We gonna go along with the game they allowing. If they ain't getting down like that, what you think we gonna do? We gonna start doing what it takes to get these females. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. Well, we don't gotta do all that. That's the thing about it.
Well, I'm saying that's something they should be working on personally because that they complain about it.
Yeah, that's right.
But they have the power to fix it.
They do have the power to fix that, but fuck all that. We ain't gonna fix ourselves. That's all we can do. Worry about the male.
Yeah, you're right. That, you know what though? That's 100% right, because I don't think there's gonna be anything you can tell them. We just gonna have to go ahead and show them, I guess, right? Get ourselves in the position to show them, and then maybe they'll come along that way. You're right on
come
that,
along
right?
Regardless.
Mm-hmm. Well, yeah, they ain't got no choice, really.
You know what I'm saying? So it's kind of like, hey, as I say, just, you know, just do your part. And, hey, it'll work out. That's all you got to do.
I agree with you.
Just get your bread up and, you know, make sure your business is going good and stuff like that. You know what I'm saying? You know who you are, confident with yourself. You're not getting down because, oh, I'm not getting this or that and the third. It don't matter. You should be chasing your goals and seeing how far you can go as a person. You know what I'm saying? Someone once told me, you can lose money chasing pussy, but you can't lose pussy chasing money.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. You never will.
Yeah. I ain't even got money yet, but I've seen how that's true. My eyes. Oh, yeah. Most definitely. That's why I ain't worried about it. I'm going to have plenty of time for that. Like I get myself set up right here. So I'm still focused. You know what I mean? I ain't chasing nobody. Somebody want to throw it at me, that's a different situation. But I got time to be chasing or none of that right now. I got things I got to do.
Yep, and that's the attitude we all should have. You know, that's our biggest problem. We're too busy chasing pussy, not chasing our goals. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
And we mad and we got to settle for a woman we don't want because we ain't doing what we're supposed to do. When if we was doing what we're supposed to do, we could have any woman we want, really.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I can't hear you.
You ever seen that movie Free State of Jones?
No, I have not. That's on Netflix or something?
Oh, it's just a movie. It's probably anywhere, local movie store or something. A few years old, but, you know, it's around the Civil War time. And this, I can't remember the reason, but this lady, she left her husband for whatever reason. And this is a white dude. And she had a son and everything with him, but she left. And he actually ended up getting with this slave, African-American, whatever you want to call him, right? Chick.
Mm-hmm.
And they was married and all that. Well, I guess when the white chick wasn't doing so good, she came back. She came back to him. But she came back humbly, and she just came back and was like, yo, I need some help, basically. You know what I mean? And she seen he was with that other girl, and the dude was just like, yo, you know, that's my son. We going to hook you up. And they just all lived together. But, you know, she didn't disrespect him. She didn't disrespect his relationship. She knew she messed up or whatever. She came back humbly, asked for some help, and he was willing to do that for her. But to me, I just felt like, man, that's really how it's supposed to be right there. You know, she didn't come back wilding out, trying to break them up or nothing like that. And I just had a lot of respect for her, really, for just being like that. It's fine if you need some help. You know that guy, man, it has your seed, you know. He gonna want to take care of that, but I appreciate that she came in there and wasn't just spiteful and trying to destroy shit. You know what I'm saying?
Yep.
So I like that scene a lot. I felt like, man, that was some real shit. That's really how it should be. You know what I'm saying? She came back and he was single, that's different, but she seen he had something else going on. She didn't try to interrupt that. She just was like, you know what I mean? Like, can I get some help from y'all? So I thought that was really, you know, I thought that was dope.
Yep.
But yeah, you won't see too much of that today. But somebody was to find themselves in a situation, that would actually probably be the appropriate way to approach it. And they would probably be surprised at the help we were willing to lend naturally, you know, without all that extra craziness going on, you know what I'm saying?
Yep.
But yeah, man.
I already know.
So, Eddie, what's up, man? Anything new going on? You got going on? I ain't got to holler at you in a little minute.
Same old. But probably next week. Not next week. The week after next, probably be having something to tell y'all. Week after next, that Friday. Tell y'all about. So definitely stay tuned for that. That's about it. I just been, relaxing.
All right. I know at one time y'all had mentioned something about Detroit seminar, but then I ain't hear nothing. Is that still kind of on the table?
You have to go on my dad's website and see.
I don't think there's a scheduled date, but I know at one time he was talking about coming back in the near future, so I didn't know if that was still something that was being kicked around or that's kind of set to the side for later. But
I don't see nothing so far. I don't see nothing right now as far as that, but yeah, he's probably in the works to get some worked out or something like that, so yeah.
Because when he said it, man, I was broke as a joke, and I was like, damn, you know what I mean? But then that was maybe even like 2 or 3 months ago, so now, depending on if y'all do that in the near future, I might be able to jump over there and catch that. That'd be dope because I know they got a lot of new information. I went to the nationality seminar damn near a year ago from now, so that wouldn't be bad for me to get back in there and get the new info and
make
the process a little stronger.
And refresh on some old stuff, and it always definitely helps.
Yeah, most definitely. I got a few things got out the way, but then that nationality, hopefully sometime in the early months of next year, I can get on that. So that's what I'm working towards. Mm-hmm. Yes, sir. But yeah, I'm gonna let you go, man. I just want to hop on here and holler at you, contribute to the show a little bit, my bro.
All right, peace to guys, man.
All right, peace out, King.
All right, peace. So, I'm going to go ahead and sign off. Appreciate everybody that tuned in today. And everybody that's going to listen in the future. Peace to the gods. See you guys next weekend.